Hallo und willkommen beim Freifunkradio hier aus Berlin auf 88,4 MHz in Berlin und DAB Plus. Und zwar auf dem Kanal
7D.
Ah, 7D, gut. Ja, da könnt ihr uns mit viel größerer Reichweite und viel bessere digitale Qualität hören, aber wir wollen immer noch auf analog bleiben. Ja, bitteschön.
Gut. For reasons.
For reasons. Und nun schalten wir um auf die englische Sprache. Wir haben einen Gast. We have a guest here, yeah. Adam Burns. And we're going to talk about some DNS, distributed DNS.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some DNS in general. On the tail of this year's Chaos Communications Camp. I gave a workshop on some of the work that I've been doing in developing and utilizing underutilized parts of the domain name system of the internet. Part of this is about being able to control your own names. So at the moment, often within the internet, we pay a provider to provide our names, and we have to manually set things often to publish our names within the networks, within the global internet as well.
I don't know if we're going too low if we mention
too
that
low?
The domain name system is required, so you know the name to an IP address, and
yeah,
you search for the name, and it's resolved to the IP address from the computer to you're actually talking to get the websites.
That is the most common usage of the DNS system, the fabric of the internet, translating those numbers to human-readable names and back again. But it's actually only a small part of what the DNS landscape and ecosystem is capable of.
When you say capable of, most people are using it just to resolve names to addresses.
Yes, to read. So they want to know a name, and they pass an external request to the DNS system, and hopefully if their name is configured, they'll get a number back where their computer can then access the resource. Usually this is often in a web browser, but internet hosts and systems use it as well for various reasons and services.
And today and historically, it is a hierarchical system.
It is a hierarchical system. It is a hierarchical system to give a common consensual hallucination of reality. Okay, so this is one version of reality. There are certain projects, I think it's called OpenDNS and others, that run alternate consensual hallucinations over their named reality as well. But the main capital I internet has one that is sort of generally accepted to be our accepted internet name reality. So yes, it is hierarchical. And it's hierarchical for a reason. It makes it easier to route and distribute things. So that hierarchy actually allows it to have one of the greatest distributed natures of any distributed service online. The DNS itself as a whole is probably the largest distributed database on the planet, both in terms of distribution and in terms of probably content as well. The amount of content on the global DNS is quite big. Yeah. So the sort of things that I've been investigating is looking at new ways, new, more secure ways of being able to not only read entries in the DNS system, but also to update and to allow others to update names up and down the cascading hierarchy, this tree of DNS. So having read too many RFCs for too many years and having done previous experiments with this in the free-to-air community wireless network in London in the early 2000s, it became an interesting topic to start to research. normally, in the past, DNS updates has been reserved for infrastructure. So what I mean by that is that if an organization has a name server and they have lots of little DHCP servers that allow computers to join their private LANs, there was a protocol to allow a DHCP server owned by you or owned by big company X to talk to a DNS server owned by company X using a shared secret to allow it to update. As a host comes online, the host often transmits its name to a DHCP server. The DHCP server can then proxy that name onto a DNS server and register a new name with an IP address it's just given out, allowing that name to be resolved dynamically.
But it only works for your company's local network.
Well, further than that, it only works with other bits of infrastructure that have that shared key. Okay. So in a lot of ways, it's not scalable, and it wasn't designed to be able to distribute keys to anyone inside or outside of your organization. So the research and the workshop that I did at the camp, this project, and I'll give the GitHub details at the end, allows public and private key pairs to be registered anywhere in the DNS system to allow control of anywhere under what the name of that key is. So it's hard to draw a picture over radio, but I'll try. So one of the examples we can give is I have, say, a domain name, freifunk.net. I can apply to a DNS server suitably configured to apply for a new name underneath that. And underneath that, a name either already exists or it doesn't. And the DNS server can, by default, in the system that I'm developing, has what's called a first-come, first-served policy, if you will. So if there's no name currently under Adam, and I would like to register the name Adam under, say, freifunk.net, then the DNS server does a quick check. Nope, there's no Adam here. Yep, sure, fine, go ahead. And then enables within the DNS system a public key to be published. That public key can then be used to configure anything below adam.freifunk.net. So it can configure web server names, it can configure anything else the DNS is capable of, including more unused services. And one of the things that I've been researching with and opening discussions with some people in Freifunk here in Berlin is the possibility also of testing what's called DNSSD or DNS service discovery. Service discovery is a part of the DNS system that is a little different to just querying the IP address of a name, which is mostly what we do. Or mail servers might query an MX record and find a host to check, to send, receive mail, etc. So within these domains that you have now key of, you can do all this stuff. Service discovery sets up a browsable list of resources. And service discovery was actually is actually part of what's called MDNS, which is an Apple developed technology that allows printers and other things to automatically appear on the network. Well, in the standard DNS world, these standards are also defined in the same way. So you, within the domain, you can set up a list of services for people to easily browse. There's a great example website by the name of dns-sd.org, written by one of the RFC authors of this system that goes into it in fine detail. But it basically means that you can start to set up a set of local services that can be queried within that domain. Anyone else can also include that domain within a search list for their services, etc. So it can actually grow quite fast. This, to me, has been an amazing opportunity to work with community networks to start publishing services that are on the edge. In other words, services like that are actually running on Freifunk. Whether they are accessible only within Freifunk or Freifunk Berlin or not, whether they are accessible on the global internet or not, doesn't really matter. What I see as a fundamental shift is the ability to publish within a certain scope. Your neighbors, your peers within the community network at the very least. DNSSD, the opportunity to publish, to browse, and to offer a variety of services. The sub-protocol of DNSSD is very, very flexible. You can do things like load balance, you know. So just entering these things into the DNS allows you to do all sorts of funky things.
This reminds me of the OLSR name service plugin, where you also can publish services, and all this is distributed via OLSR packages or messages. And I think DNSSD sounds a better solution for that.
Yeah. What I like about this is the opportunity, anyway, of one, publishing at the scope that the community network will allow through its infrastructure. Yeah. So if it has a coordinated NAT that is routed within it, within Berlin or within Freifunk in general, or whatever the scope is, that's there. If you bring in other technologies to allow for either port forwarding or VPN to a globally routed address, then you've got both. You know, and that's what I actually like that, because that's the philosophy of really showing people that they can take their own services out of their data center and live with them under their bed.
So that would require that a DNS server from within the local network is available from the world, and you add it to your list, or will it work with the standard DNS system?
It is the standard DNS system. This is within DNSSD. Unicast works with Unicast DNS, so yes, it works within within the global DNS system. Yeah, it doesn't matter where the DNS server is located. I would prefer everyone runs their own DNS server, to be frank, because ultimately that's the way to better control your lookups and the publication of names. But that's down the line a bit. But DNS, the DNS servers, for DNSSD, the DNS servers just have to be reachable through the DNS system.
Okay, so make it a picture, we take the domain sd.freifunk.net.
Okay.
That is on
SD, all right.
For service discovery.
All right, if you like. Yeah. Well, say the other example here, and here we go. Say the example adam.freifunk.net. Okay. So, if I want to enable service discovery on that, I can do so. Now, if I want to run a DNS server on my own host on Freifunk, then the DNS system works by a mechanism called delegation. Zone delegation. So Freifunk server that has allowed this, put this key in for adam.freifunk.net, you can then, with that key, add what's called an NS record to point all lookups for adam.freifunk.net to the server under my bed.
Yeah.
In Freifunk Berlin. So that means it becomes an authoritative DNS server for anything involving adam.freifunk.net. And that's that server that will be the authoritative server. All the other DNS servers may well cache answers from it. and cascade the way that the lovely DNS system sort of works. But ultimately, if it changes, then all the other DNS network will turn to this server for refreshing their caches and getting an accurate answer.
But the DNS server under your bed has to be in the public internet. So
yes, it does somehow. Yes, it does, because other DNS servers have to directly query it or reach it.
Yeah.
And that is another mechanism. Yeah. So normally when you need, and the same with a web server. Yeah. If you want global reach with a web server, then you need to pierce the network address translation, the NAT, or you need some port forwarding trickery. There are multiple ways of doing this, but yes, it does need to be reachable because that's the way the DNS system works.
Yep. But for the web server, we could say, oh, it should only be reachable within Freifunk Berlin, so it just has to be somehow in the Berlin IP address space, and then
You can delegate DNS if you wish to run the DNS server yourself, but by no means are you forced to.
Mm.
So the DNS zone of Adam Freifunk.net can remain on a Freifunk DNS server, for instance, that may well be and probably is on the core internet, unfettered by NATs and other nasty insects. It's
maintained by Werner. greetings to Werner.
Werner, hi. If you're out there, I would love to talk to you. yes, I've reached out to a few people who have some interest in the DNS for Freifunk Berlin, and thank you, Andy, for the tips for contacts, because I'm just interested to understand what goes on in DNS land in the Berlin Freifunk network, and whether those in charge of the policy of the DNS would be willing to make a little side lab experiment in a subdomain off it somewhere to put this to a proof of concept. Because I really do think it could be an amazing opportunity. During the camp, I went into some details further over some experiments. Actually, with regards to what you were saying before about reachability, part of the free-to-air network, I had logs that I gave on one of the slides, I think. The DHCP server on free-to-air in London actually gave out randomly sometimes, but gave out routable IP addresses to passing traffic. Mm. So I actually have some logs of a BlackBerry phone being directly routed to the global internet for however long it was actually on the network, which I find a bit like weird. And oh, by the way, without their owner probably even realizing it. there was about 10 BlackBerry phones that happened to, and multiple iPhones as well. Actually, I can see two iPods as well that were exposed unfettered in any way to the global internet. So that's an interesting experiment as well. But back to DNS, I mean, service discovery is one thing, but if you trawl through the literary speaking, very poor novels, but long reams of standards, RFC documents that involve DNS, there's a surprising ecosystem under there. One of the challenges that we've started on with this system is to look at a find my device style system, utilizing the domain name system as something that publishes GPS coordinates.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually implemented this now. So what we can do is, with a small script, we can just publish the current reading from a GPS on a phone to a public DNS record, meaning should you choose to, you can have your device publicly registered at a certain GPS point. Whether that is actually really where it is or not is certainly up to you. So the trust is really down to the device that publishes these numbers. There's no way of authenticating the results from the GPS or the integrity of whether it was using a GPS system at all and not just rolling GPS dice. But anyway, that opportunity is there in a way. It also brings up other ways of potentially playing with space as well as names, for instance. There's all sorts of other things, potentials there. There is a URL and URI DNS record that can be used for all sorts of pointers to other resources online. I know a couple of people that are using these types of things for distributed identities and things that start to relate into sort of blockchain land and these newer forms of identifying people and keeping permanent histories on them. But, yeah, so what else would I like to say about that? I think what we've been doing with the DNS and DNSSD is opening doors for playful experimentation at this stage. I should add, too, that this passability or this delegation of control can be given even further. Once you have that initial key underneath at the name of adamfreifunk.net, adam.freifunk.net, you're free to put another key in there to allow someone else to control it as well. You can sub-delegate another domain beneath that to allow someone else to control that. So you can say friend of adamfreifunk.net, and they then get to play with their sub-subdomain. So it can scale out quite effectively, which means you can start to have a distributed sort of system to allow certain people to update things, certain people to read things in all of DNS's opportunities.
So we just need the software to do that.
Well, the standards are there, but they've been underutilized. Most of the standards that have been used to implement this come from not deprecated, but updated DNS records that are now used for what is called DNSSEC. DNSSEC is an attempt to improve the integrity of the DNS system's queries and answers, because the DNS system is like a question and answer machine. When you read from it, when you publish it, it's more like a request to publish, and then it confirms the new publication that you've put in that place. But it's a question and answer. Because it's an infrastructure service, and because of its age, it's had a lot of difficulties with integrity, so a lot of countries now use filtering or spoofing of DNS as a censorship mechanism. Mm-hmm. A lot of ISPs use it for branding or other reasons. So it's very easy to lose integrity of this, and DNSSEC is a cryptographic extension to the DNS system to attempt to improve the integrity of results provably at a greater level. And its uptake is slowly increasing. This project also incorporates DNSSEC delegation and control as well to further that integrity offered through the DNS security extensions.
Sounds interesting. So we need to talk with Werner to
yes,
get
please.
Something implemented there.
Yes, please. I'd love at least an experimental or a lab or a setup, a beta of some
Does
sort.
Does adam.freifunk.net already work?
I'm not sure. Werner doesn't live in Berlin, so he maybe doesn't hear our broadcast now.
Well, if you're at a Unix prompt, just dig adam.fryfunk.net right now to win a prize. Just ring in to claim your prize as soon as you can tell us the IP address of adam.fryfunk.net.
Ring, ring.
Who's that? Is that Venner?
Did he just go,
I've got this, I've got this. Yeah. So I think I've talked enough word salad over that in general, but have you any questions, or was anything unclear about that, or has it been inspiring in some way?
Inspiring? Yes, of course, because I'd really like to set up something like the OSR namespace, or a replacement for this, because in other Freifunk firmwares we just don't have this feature, and okay. I think this is one of the nicer features of the old firmwares we are still using in Berlin and Weimar, for example, where we can just distribute services we have on our connected to our routers or to our home network somehow under our bed, so to say.
I need to look at the current Freifunk router images and their capacities. I haven't yet. As I said, I've got it interoperable on an Android phone running Termux to allow for location, find my phone sort of stuff. But as the experiments improve, I definitely want to boot up a couple of Freifunk routers with Berlin variations on loaded on them and see how and do some compatibility tests and see where we can get on that. Yeah. It might even be possible to build a shim. One of the things I'm looking at is to migrate multicast DNS through Avahi or other things and give you the opportunity to say, right, the stuff that's available over MDNS that I see on this host, if it's available, then reflect it over Unicast. In fact, Avahi has the skeleton of the detail of the capacity to do that already.
1.5 minutes to go.
Electra, will you sing us out?
Nope.
Oh.
But you suggested it, so go ahead.
No. It doesn't work that way.
It does.
No. You're meant to be spontaneously inspired
by your
the muse. Yeah, you've got to be mused.
Not happening.
Right you're now. Not amused.
Okay, so I think we will add some links to the show notes of this podcast and maybe your slides.
The GitHub repo.
Yeah.
At the moment, at least, it's called SIG0 Name Control, which sounds as though it should be wearing leather. it's just an experimental playpen of the sort of things that we've been talking about this evening.
All right, then. That's for our broadcast of September.
Yes,
it's in 2023. We hope you liked it.
It was episode 112. We forgot to mention in the beginning.
And we hope you're inspired.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Adam, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It was really a pleasure. So we hear us next week, and I press the button to get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here.